Okay, so we are holding on Samach Zayin, Amud Aleph, ninth line by the two dots. That line begins with Amri. We're still in the middle of discussing the whole matter of Bitul Rishus and Schiras Rishus, that are Schiras Rishus, where you have a goy living in the Chotzer, and that's necessary in order to be able to make an Eruv in the first place. We also talked about yesterday what happens if they made one with the goy not being there at the beginning of Shabbos. He was out of town, and they made an Eruv, and then the goy comes in the middle of Shabbos, where it spoils the Eruv, and even if they do Schiras Rishus from him then, they're still going to need to do Bitul Rishus as well in order to be able to carry there. They're going to need to all be Mevatel, their Rishus and the Chatzar, to one of them, so that at least that one will be able to carry in the Chatzar. So more on this topic. We talked about yesterday about the opinion of Shmuel that you can't do Bitul Rishus between one chotzer and another. So we said Rabbi Yochanan says that you can, Shmuel says that you can't, and we discussed the pros and cons of exactly when Shmuel would say that you can and you can't. Would there be a difference if one chotzer is further back than the other one and not directly open to Rosh Hasharabim? Rava gives us a bunch of scenarios where you have two chatzeres like that, depending whether they place the Eruv food in the inner chotzer or the outer one, etc. So now we're going to talk more about those dinim. So the Gemara starts off with a little bit of an introduction to give us an idea about the relationship between Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes, ki pagi bahadi adodi, when Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes would meet one another, each of them had an advantage the other one didn't. Rav Chista was much better at pilpul, meaning to be able to come up with good, sharp questions, to be able to derive things from the already known halachas, etc., as opposed to Rav Sheshes' specialty was more the thorough knowledge of Mishnayos and Braisis. The Gemara in other places describes these two as Sinai versus Oikar Harim. For example, it talks about that Rabbah was Oikar Harim, Rabbi Yosef was Sinai. So you had a similar kind of thing between Rav Sheshes and Rav Chista, where Rav Sheshes is the expert on the Mishnayos and Braisis, and Rav Chista is the expert at Pilpul, at good, sharp, and complicated questions and deductions from what we know. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista v'Rav Sheshes ki pagi bahadi adodi, when they would meet each other, Rav Chista marta on sif vase mimasn yaisi de Rav Sheshes, Rav Chista's lips would tremble because of the knowledge of Mishnayos and Braisis that Rav Sheshes had. Meaning Rav Chista his lips would be trembling, like he'd be nervous that Rav Sheshes may say to him, Rav Chista, can you explain to me, there's this Mishnah says this, on the other hand, there's this other Mishnah or this other Braisa that says this, they seem to contradict each other, how do you reconcile them? And Rav Chista is not sure if he's going to be able to do that. Rav Sheshes marta kule gufe mipopole de Rav Chista. On the other hand, Rav Sheshes' entire body would tremble because of the pilpul of Rav Chista, because again, Rav Chista was very sharp, chorif the savran hoya b'yoyse, Rashi says. He was very sharp. He knew how to come up with amazing svaras and deep questions. So therefore, Rav Sheshes would be nervous that Rav Chista might come up with a strong question that he might not be able to answer, or a deep discussion that he might not be able to follow. An interesting point over here, you're saying that by Rav Chista, it's only his lips are trembling, by Rav Sheshes, it's his entire body. So in the back of the Gemara, one of the Mephoshim over there, Rav Shaul Katzenellenbogen, suggests that maybe what it is because Rav Chista is not as nervous as Rav Sheshes. If Rav Sheshes mentions to him two Mishnayos or Braisis or whatever that contradict each other, okay, he may not be able to figure out a way to reconcile them, but at least he'll understand pshat in the relevant Mishnayos and Braisis. He just may not know how to reconcile them. As opposed to Rav Sheshes is nervous, if Rav Chista asks him a deep question, he may not even fully understand the question. So therefore, like his whole body is trembling as opposed to just his lips. With that said, Rav Shuda Goyen and his Igeres brings our Gemara over here and just says by both of them, Marta, that they were both trembling without saying anything about lips or body. So according to him, it might be, he might have had a Girsa, that they were both equally nervous. I also saw a vote on it, by the way, that this trembling is not just that they're afraid, it's also that they're preparing themselves in that way. Like we say, the Torah has to be learned, be'ema b'yira b'resa s'vaziyah, because you have to prepare yourself to go out of your own metzius, kind of, and go into a new one. So the same thing, when they met each other, it would be time for them to try to adopt something of the other one's method in learning. Rav Sheshes would want to learn more, would want to move himself from his original place and learn more of Rav Chista's style of deep learning and vice versa. Anyway, with all that introduction, Bomine Rav Chista Rav Sheshes. So Rav Chista asked Rav Sheshes a question as follows. And you can see from the question the kind of depth of things that Rav Chista comes up with. Shnei batim mishnei tzidei rishos harabim. Suppose you have two houses on two sides, on each one on a different, each one on one side of rishos harabim. Now, so far, there's a rishos harabim between them. Obviously, there's no making an eruv between them before Shabbos. The only way, Reb Yehuda, okay, holds that you could put a lechi or a koda between them, but the halacha is not like, as we've had a few times, but the halacha is not like Reb Yehuda. The halacha is like the chachamim, that you would need an actual door in Rishos Rabim. So if you don't have that, but so these houses you couldn't carry from one to another on Shabbos. But then Uvo Nochrim v'Kifum Mechitzah b'Shabbos. Then Goyim came and surrounded these two houses with a wall on Shabbos, which goes across Rishos Rabim. So now you have a common area within that mechitza. Mahu, what would be the din? Could we say now that one of them can now be mevatel reshus to the other, and then one of them will be able to carry in that joint area? Now, as far as the mechitza itself, that it should be considered a valid mechitza as far as Hilchos Shabbos, no question about that. We've learned previously that if a mechitza is made on Shabbos, even if it was made b'mezid, it still counts as a mechitza for purposes of Shabbos. So we said there that if it was made b'mezid, you may not be able to carry in it midrabanon, but here it wasn't made b'mezid. Here Goyim made it without the people's knowledge or consent or whatever. So from the point of view of carrying within the mechitza on Shabbos, that now it's a rishos hayachid, there's no question. The question is that now, in effect, it's a joint chotzer between them, but it was created on Shabbos. Can they do bitul rishus? So Rav Chista continues the question. Alibi demanda omer ein bitul rishus mechatzel lechatzer. If we follow the opinion of Shmuel, who said before that you can't do bitul rishus between one chatzer and another loyti boyloch, then there's no reason even to ask the question. If you can't do it over there, surely you can't do it over there. Hashda di ibol aruve me esmal matzu ma'arvi. Let's consider in that case, in the case of two chatzeres, whether, as we said, we're talking two chatzeres, one within the other, or one next to the other, whatever, in both of those cases, if they wanted to make an Eruv the day before, Matzu Ma'arvi, they could perfectly well have made an Eruv. They had the ability. There was a door open between the two chatzeres. They just didn't bother making an Eruv. And still Amrit Ein Bitul Rishus Mechatzel Chatzer, and still Shmuel is saying that you can't do Bitul Rishus between one chatzer and another to make it mutter to carry between the two chatzeres. Or in some of Rava's scenarios, even to carry in the one chatzah or whatever. So if even in that case where they could conceivably have made the Eruv before Shabbos, Hacha de Ebola or Ruvim Esma le Matzim Arvi, here where they couldn't have even made an Eruv yesterday because you have the mechitza between them didn't exist yesterday. Yesterday they were across Rishos Rabim from each other, and there was no way to make an Eruv without putting up doors. Again, we're not talking about that. So then loy matzu ma'arvi, so they wouldn't have been able to make an Eruv. Loy kolshken, so according to Shmuel, needless to say, they shouldn't be able to do bitur Rishos now on the basis of their existing a chatzer that didn't before. So according to Shmuel, there's no reason even to ask a question, Rav Chista is saying. Kiti boyloch alibi demanda omer yesh bitul rishus mechatzel lechatzer. The question will be, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that there is bitul rishus from one chatzer to another. Where again, the scenario we had, let's say, for example, was that forget about the case of one chatzer inside another one or set further back than the other one, where the only way to go in and out is through the one. Here we're dealing more with the case that we dealt with yesterday. You have two chatzeres side by side. Each one has their own entrance and exit to the mavri. So we said that suppose they each made their own separate eruv to be able to carry in their to be able to carry in their chatzar, but one person forgot to join in the eruv from one or the other, or for that matter, you could have, let's say, even all of them joined in their respective eruvin, but now they want to be able to carry between one chatzar and another, which is not something they made an eruv for. And Rabbi Yochanan had said they could do bittul rishus in order to do that. They can all be mevatel the rishus in their respective chatzeres to one person. And then that one person is able to carry between one chatzar and another. We should stress, by the way, we're talking about things that were in the houses before Shabbos. If there were things in the chatzeres, we have a machlokas later on in the Masechta at the beginning of the ninth perek, if something was out in the chatzar before Shabbos, you're allowed to carry it to another chatzar. And even if you didn't make an eruv between them, and Reb Shimon says yes, and the halacha is like Reb Shimon. So when we talk about carrying from one chatzar to another over here, we mean carrying something from one of the houses into the chatzar. Whatever, anyway. The point is, again, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that scenario would work. All of them can be mevatel rishus to one person, and then that one person will be able to carry from his house in through both chatzeres. So according to him, we can ask the question. Do we say though that however the difference is hosam de ibola aruva me esmal motzim arvi? The fact is, when it comes to that case of two chatzeres, if they had wanted the day before, if they'd wanted to make an eruv chatzeres, a joint eruv chatzeres for the two chatzeres on Friday motzim arvi, they could have done that because after all there is a door between the two chatzeres. Therefore, maybe because of that, but tuli nami motzim avatol. Maybe therefore. Because of that, Rabbi Yochanan will be fine with being mevatel rishus, because they could have made an eruv. And the general Shmuel had said the rule yesterday that any time that they're oistrin or ma'arvin, then they're able to do bittul rishus, but not if it's not oistrin or not ma'arvin. So Shmuel had said that in the case. So we had also said though that Shmuel says that where the lack of an eruv between them doesn't prevent each one from carrying in their own chatzar, or we had a case of a churva, a case of a ruined building between them, where they don't necessarily have to use it. It's not ikur tashmishay. Then we said that Shmuel wouldn't allow bittul rishus in such cases. Maybe he would allow it when you're talking about one chatzar inside of another one, where they have to pass through one chatzar. The people in the inner chatzar have to pass through the outer one to get in and out, and that we had the whole discussion between Rabbi Yosef and Abaya and Rava about the pros and cons of that. But here, each one is their own. So in a case of two chatzeres, again, each one is their own independent chatzer. But fine, the fact is they are oistrin zel zeh in the sense that they're not able to carry from one chatzer to another without making an eruv between them. They could have made an eruv, so Rabbi Yochanan would allow it, but maybe only in that kind of case where they could have made the eruv before Shabbos. Aval hocha, but in our case over here about the mechitza that was made on Shabbos. They couldn't have made an eruv yesterday because there was no mechitza between them to be able to surrounding their houses to be able to make an eruv. Therefore, batulei nami lematzum avatol. Maybe therefore, Rabbi Yochanan would agree in that case. You can't be mevatel, or maybe Rabbi Yochanan just says you can be mevatel mechotzer lechotzer, and therefore it doesn't matter. Even if the chotzer as such didn't exist before Shabbos. So that was Rechista's question. No, so the question is, right now what you have is, the result of the Goyim making this mechitza is you have one big chotzer that in effect they share. Here's a picture of it that may help clarify it. Let's see. Here you go. You have a house here. Before Shabbos, they were separated by Rosh Hashanah. In the middle of Shabbos, now Goyim came and put up mechitzas over here. So the result is they have one chotzer. In effect, they have a chotzer between them, which used to be part of Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. So the question is, can they be mevatel rishus one to another to be able to carry in there? So that was Rav Chista's question. Mevatel rishus would mean you have Reuven on one side, Shimon on the other. It means Reuven will say to Shimon, I'm renouncing my rights on this chotzer, on this so-called chotzer, for this Shabbos or for part of this Shabbos or whatever. You, Shimon, it's going to be considered as part of your house, and you'll be able to carry in and out of it from your house on Shabbos. Yeah. We're going to learn, again, we're going to learn later on in the Perek, that according to some opinions, and this is the halacha, mevatlin v'chozirin mevatlin, you are able to, you can have Reuven can be mevatled to Shimon, so that Shimon can carry there, and then Shimon can be mevatled back to Reuven, so that Reuven can carry there, so they can have a whole thing going over there. But yeah. So that's the question. So would Rabbi Yechanan allow bitul reshus in this kind of case? Amalei ein mevatlin. So Reb Sheshes tells him, no, in this case, Reb Yechanan would agree that you can't do bittul because you need at least one, you need at least one factor. Over here, in other words, the point is you don't have oisrin zalzeh because before Shabbos, the fact that each of them was living in their house wasn't asking them to carry in Rishos Rabim. They were also anyway, because it was Rishos Rabim. They're not, they couldn't have made the Eruv before Shabbos because there was no mechitza. So Reb Sheshes says, Rabbi Yechanan would say, if you have one or the other of those, then you can do bitul reshus, but not where you don't have either one of those factors. Therefore, ein mevatlin. Well, no, because no, if you're saying if they knew that the goyim are going to build before Shabbos, that the goyim are going to build this mechitza, not necessarily, because the fact is, it's not a question of knowing or not knowing. The fact is, the mechitza didn't exist before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, there was no way of making an eruv chatzeros between them without that mechitza existing. Okay. Then Rav Chista asked Rav Sheshes another question: Mes nochri b'Shabbos mahu? What happens? Suppose now you have like this. We said before, you have a case, you have two or more Jews living in a chatzar, you have a goy over there, then we said you have to do schiras reshus. So Rashi explains that the case is going to be like this. Let's say, for example, so they didn't do schiras reshus from the goy before Shabbos. They also, therefore, didn't make the Eruv, because they knew without schiras reshus, the Eruv is not going to do any good. Now what happens is, mes nochri b'Shabbos mahu. What happens if the goy dies on Shabbos? Are they maybe now able to be mevatel reshus one to the other? Like this, they couldn't have made an Eruv, so there's no way that all of them are going to be able to carry. But again, like this, bitul reshus wouldn't have helped either up until now. We said earlier in the perek that even we had an example over there, that we had the story over there involving Lachman Baristak, the goy, who refused to do schiras reshus, where we said there, that Abaya had suggested everybody be mevatel reshus to one person, and then it'll be considered like one person with a bunch of guests living in the place where the goy lives, and Rava, and against one goy, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that would be good. But Rava had said that's no good, and can be talta toras eruv me'osam mavoi, and Rava had given a different thing that you have to do. You have to become friendly with the goy and allow him, and he'll allow you to store something in his house, etc., etc. So the point is, so in our scenario over here, as long as the goy was alive, they wouldn't have been able to do bitul reshus, like Rava says. But now that he's dead, maybe now we could do bitul reshus. Or maybe not. Maybe not, because the goy was alive at the beginning of Shabbos. And you also have, now we talked about a couple of days ago, various scenarios where the goy comes in the middle of Shabbos, where, for example, you made an Eruv at the beginning and then he came in the middle. We talked about, Tosfos had referred to a case we had in Shabbos where there were two boats tied together and then they separated in the middle of Shabbos. One thing is, Tosfos draws a distinction over there between things that are expected to happen on Shabbos versus not. Here, it wasn't expected the goy was going to die in the middle of Shabbos. So that's the question. So again, a liber demand almost soichrin loyti boilach. If we say, as we said before, that if the goy comes in the middle of Shabbos, you're able to do schiras reshus on Shabbos, and then you can be mevatel loyti boilach. Then again, there's no question, because tauti hu delay avdinan. Hashta tauti avdinan. If we're even able to do both those things, we're able to do schiros reshus from the goy and then bitul reshus. Chodem iboya. Needless to say, over here, where we don't even need schiros reshus, all we need is bitul reshus, that it should be fine to do that on Shabbos, according to that mandama. Kiti boylach alibidem mandama ein soichrin. The question would be, according to the opinion, that you can't do schiros reshus when the guy comes in the middle of Shabbos. He comes in the middle of Shabbos, he spoils your Eruv, and even if you do Schiras Rishus over there, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to do Schiras Rishus from him on Shabbos and have your Eruv and have your, and then be able to do Bittur. We discussed also, again, we had two different Lashonis in Rashi, we had Tosfos, etc. Are we talking about where they made the Eruv on the supposition that the Goy wasn't going to be there, and then he turned up, and now the question is whether we have to be Socha Rishos, or is the scenario where they didn't even make an Eruv in the first place because they knew that he's likely to come in the middle of Shabbos. So according to that, maybe we would say Tauti Hu Delay Avdinan, maybe we can't do both Schiras Rishos and Bittul, Ha Chada Avdinan, but over here we don't need Schiras Rishos anymore because the Goy is dead. Maybe, though, we could just do the one thing a bit of Rishos at this point, and then one Yid will be able to carry in and out between his house and the Chatzar. Oduma Loishna. Or maybe there's no difference, and either way, you can't do bit of Rishos at that point, because, again, at the beginning of Shabbos, Eruv or bit of Rishos wouldn't have helped, because they hadn't done Schiras Rishos from the Goy. Amarle, so Rav Shesha says, In this case, there's actually a machlokas. Ani oimer mevatlin. I say they could be mevatel rishus because the difference is over here. They could have done tschiras rishus and made the eruv yesterday because the goy is here in town. They just didn't bother. So therefore, but the fact is they had the ability to do that as opposed to the case over there where the goy wasn't there. But Rav Hamnuna says that you can't because they wouldn't have been able to do it without the Schiras Rishus. So therefore, it's the equivalent of not having been able to make the Eruv. That's how Rashi understands the scenario and the din. According to Rav Hamnuna, then it would come out you have to have both conditions, right? You have to have that, you have to have done the Schiras Rishus, and then we can talk about whether you can do Bittul Rishus on Shabbos. So in this case, not. Tosfos discusses that. Tosfos explains the scenario differently, because actually Tosfos points out in the Gemara yesterday we had that if the goy was there before Shabbos, then we said loyga meesmo. We should have done that. We could have done the siras rishus yesterday, and therefore in that case it is called oisrinum arvin. And we talked about that the scenario was Shmuel had mentioned a case where oisrin ve'en ma'arvin was a case where there's a goy involved because there are Jews in the Chatzar, they can't make, they need an Eruv Chatzeros, but because the Goy is there, they can't. However, we said if he was there yesterday, then what do you mean they couldn't have made an Eruv? They could have made an Eruv because they could have done Schiras Rishos from the Goy before Shabbos. So because of that, Tosfos says, okay, maybe that was according to Rav Sheshes. Here we want to say a different scenario that would work according to both Rav Sheshes and Rav Hamnuna. Anyway, Tosfos gives a different explanation. The scenario we're talking about over here is that the goy was not there at the beginning of Shabbos, so they couldn't have done Schiras Rishos for him. Then he came in the middle of Shabbos, and that spoiled their Eruv, and now he died in the middle of Shabbos. So now the question is, do we say that maybe their Eruv goes back to being valid again? Now, we said actually that Ravid holds that in general, if you are able to do Schiras Rishus from the Goy in the middle of Shabbos, which the halacha is you are able to, then we said a couple of days ago, the Ravid holds that the Eruv goes back to being good. Most of the other Rishonim disagree with him, though. But in this case, where they had an Eruv that was valid at the beginning of Shabbos because the Goy wasn't there, and now again it's valid because the Goy is dead, so now Rav Sheshes is saying, good, in that case, then... So what we're saying is the Eruv doesn't go back to being good. What we're saying is, though, they can still be Mevatel Rishus. Right. So Tosfos learns over here that's the scenario. In other words, that they made the Eruv, but now the Eruv was spoiled by the Goy dying. Are they able now to do Bittul Rishus? And Rav Sheshes holds yes, and Rav Hamnuna holds no. So the halacha is like Rav Sheshes. In general, we say halacha kedivra meikol be'eruv. And in Shulchan Aruch also it mentions another related scenario. What happens if the goy dies on Shabbos? What happens? So now his son or whoever yarshins the property, what if they go and do schiras rishus from him on Shabbos, then the halacha is actually, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if they had in fact made an Eruv before Shabbos, then the Eruv does go back to being valid. Because unlike in the regular scenario, that if they made an Eruv between themselves before Shabbos, so they did, unlike in other words, in the case we're talking about over here, is where they made the Eruv without Schiras Rishus, according to Tosfos, because the Goy wasn't there. But you have, whatever it was, but let's say you have a case, the Goy was living over there, they did Schiras Rishus, then they made the Eruv, everything is good. Now the Goy dies. So now, if they do Schiras Rishus from his son, actually, the case in Shulchan Aruch is also, yeah, where he comes there in the middle of Shabbos. So sorry, they didn't do Schiras Rishus before Shabbos. But the Goy came in the middle of Shabbos. Now they do, he dies. Now they do Schiras Rishus from his son. Now we say the Eruv goes back to being valid. Because, yeah, it wasn't expected he was going to die in the middle of Shabbos. But on the other hand, they didn't know he was going to come in the middle of Shabbos either. So in that case, everybody would agree that the Eruv goes back to being good in that case. Even the Ravid says it's good even in other cases, but in this particular case, then we would say that because after all, they did do Schiras Rishus before Shabbos, and now again, they're doing Schiras Rishus from his son. Okay. Another din. Now we're going to talk about another din. Now we're going to talk about a case where you have a goy and a chotzer, and maybe you don't even need to do schiras rishus from him at all. Till now, we've been discussing the ins and outs of schiras rishus, where you have to do it. Now we're going to talk about a case where you don't even need schiras rishus from the goy, and you can still just make an error. Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Nachri. If a goy has an opening or a window which is at least 4x4 tefachim, pasuach lebika, and it's open to a valley, meaning to the fields outside the city from his house, so he has a house in a chotzer in the mavui. The house has a main entrance in and out of the mavui, like everybody else's does, but he also has a window that opens out to a bika in the back, and the window is at least 4x4 tefachim, which is the minimum that's considered a window for this purpose in halacha, as we're going to talk about at the beginning of the next parak. Because a valley. So it just means an area full of fields. Yeah. So then, afilu machnes umotzi gmala mokronis kolayem kula derech mavui, then even if he's taking out camels and wagons throughout the day, even throughout Shabbos, through the mavui, and obviously not through this window over there, ein oiser al bnei mavui. Nevertheless, he doesn't make the people in the mavui also. We don't have to do schiras rishus from him in order to make an eruv or shituf in this mavui. My timer, why is that? Because b'pischa d'miyachad le'ba'ahu nichalei. Because since he has his own opening out to the bika, and a bika is a big, wide open area. It's much wider than a cramped mavui. So therefore, he prefers to use that. So practically speaking, gmalim and kronis, he has to take out through his main door only because there's no choice. There's no room to fit them through that window over there to the bika. But we say that he would really prefer to use his window to the bika if at all possible. So there actually you have a machlokas among the achronim, the Prisha and another sefer called Maimon Mordechai. Both of them on the tour. The Prisha is on the tour, and then the Maimon Mordechai is talking about what he says, whether he actually needs to use that window for anything, or whether just the fact that the window is there is enough for the purpose. Yeah, good. Okay. So therefore, so in effect, we say then that he's not considered to be a member of the mavui. And therefore, if he's not a member of the mavui, then they don't need schiras rishus in order to make a shituf. There is actually an opinion of the Ravid that says that davka we're talking about over here when it's a window 4x4 and not larger than that, because if it was larger than that, then he's more able. That if it was a doorway, for example, then taka, why isn't he using that on a regular basis? On the other hand, most of the other Rishonim disagree with the Ravid on that and say it doesn't matter. 4x4 is just the minimum, but if it's a bigger door, then the same din would apply. Okay. Iboilu. So now the question becomes, we're talking about where it was open to a bika, which is a wide open area of fields. What about pasuch l'karpif mahu? What about if this guy's window or door or whatever is open to a karpif? Where a karpif, we said before, is an enclosed area where people store wood or other things like that. So it may be bigger. It may be bigger than the mavui, but it's not wide open like a bika, which is full of fields where you have an endless amount of space over there. So what would be the din? Would we say then that the fact that he has a window or a door open to that karpif is also a reason to say that he's not a member of the mavui or not? So Omer Rav Nachman Ba'ami Mishmei de Ulfana. So Rav Nachman Ba'ami says in the name of Ulfana. Ulfana means teaching, and Rashi explains it means, like the Gemara uses in some places, Mishmei de Gemara. It means that he learned from his Rebbe, who learned from his Rebbe, etc. Now there's a different explanation that Ulfana is the name of a Chacham. Anyway, so he says, Afilu Pasuach LaKarpif. Yes, even if the goy's window is open to a karpif, the fact is it's still wider than the mavui, and therefore he'd prefer to use that as much as possible, and therefore he doesn't aser on the people of the mavui. On the other hand, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef say it actually depends on the size of that karpif. Nochri, if we're talking about a goy, the case that we're just talking about, where he has a window or a door open to this karpif, Beis Sasayim Oyser, if the karpif is Beis Sasayim, 5,000 square amos or less, then Oyser, then he still assers the Mavui with if they don't do Schiras Rishos from him, because since it's a smallish karpif, it's less than 5,000 square amos, less than 70 by 70 amos, it's not really that big an area, it's not really that big an area that he should say, you know what, this is airier than the mavui, let me better use this when I have the opportunity to. Is wood stored there? So, okay. So, well, maybe, but the point is, though, that we would say, so for purposes of getting wood in and out of the karpif, okay, I'm going to take it in and out that way. But other than that, I'd really prefer to use the mavui, because anyway, having a karpif of my own isn't really giving me any advantage in terms of fresh air, in terms of a wide open area or whatever. But if the karpif is bigger than Beis Sasayim, then it's more airy and roomy. So then he'd rather use that if he had the choice. So maybe he can't, practically speaking, so much because it's only a window 4x4 tvachim, but he would, given the choice. So therefore he doesn't ask. So in effect, it's considered like he lives in a separate mavri, not together with the Jews. The Yisrael, now if you have a similar scenario with a Jew, where a Jew lives in a house that's open to the Mavri, and he also has a back window or a back entrance into the Karpif, and what happens if he forgot to join into the Eruv with everybody else, so will they be able to carry in the Mavri or not? So then it's exactly the other way around. Beis Sasayim Eina Oyser, if that Karpif is up to Beis Sasayim in size, which then he's able to use it on Shabbos to carry around in, then Eine Oyser, then he doesn't aser the rest of the people of the Mavui. Meaning, so Rashi explains the difference is the reason why it's backwards of the Goy is because unlike a Goy who even on Shabbos could be having big wagons and camels and whatever, like we said, whole trucks of things coming in and out of his house on Shabbos, a Yid is not going to have that. So therefore, all he needs is a small thing. All he needs is a small window, 4x4 tvachim, and then he has a karpif of his own. So he's able to carry in it on Shabbos. So therefore, so we consider him to be primarily living in the karpif because he's able to carry in it, and therefore that's good. Yosim beis sasayim oyser, but if his karpif is bigger than beis sasayim. And Rashi explains it's not hukaf ladira, so he's not. And we said before, we learned in the second paragraph that a karpif that's not hukaf ladira, that wasn't enclosed for the purposes of living space. So it's just like he just uses it, let's say, as his wood storage area, and he doesn't regularly go. We talked about then what hukaf ladira means. Does it mean that somebody actually has to be living there? Does it mean it's enough if he's walking in and out of there on a regular basis? No, we didn't say anything. Well, if the door is open from there to his house, that helps make it hukaf ladira, but only if the door was open and then it was surrounded with walls. If it was surrounded with walls and then the door was open from the house, that doesn't necessarily make it hukaf ladira. Yeah, we had a whole scenario over there involving the orchard of the Resh Galusa, where they had a little pavilion or something in there, and they wanted to be able to carry. Yes. So the point is then. So now if this Kaupef of his is not Book of Ledura, and it's bigger than Beis Sasayim, so he's not allowed to carry in it on Shabbos. So he's not considered to be living in the Kaipif because he can't carry in it on Shabbos anyway. So then we're back to he's a member of the Mavui. And as a member of the Mavui, he has to join in the Shittuf Mavoyas, or else he asses it on them unless he's Mevatel Rishus to them. So what it is if he forgot to join in the Shittuf Mavoyis, what we're saying is, in order not to be asuing on everybody else or require Bitul Rishus or whatever, it would have to be that his Karpif is Beis Sasayim or less in size. Well, if it's smaller, then he's more able to carry in there, right? Up to Beis Sasayim, he's allowed to carry in there, whether it's Hukaf Ledira or not, right? That's according to Rashi. Tosfos actually learns the other way around. If it was Hukaf Ledira, then even if it was based Sasayim or less, then you're going to have a problem. Because the fact that he's allowed to carry in there means, in effect, it's just an extension of his house. So then you're back to he doesn't really have a separate area of his own. He has a house which includes an extension and is open to the Mavui. As opposed to if the place is not Hukaf Ledira, that would be when we would say there's a difference between based Sasayim and more than based Sasayim, says Tosfos. It's not the Kaibrif is not open directly to the Mavri. He has a window or a door from his house to the Kaibrif. He also has a door from his house to the Mavri. What we're saying is, we're trying to find what are the scenarios where he's not going to ask the people of the Mavri, even though he didn't join in the Shittuf Mavoyis. So according to Rashi, we're saying that if his Kaupif is more than Beis Sasayim and not Hukaf Ledira, where there he can't carry in it, then it doesn't help us and he still is asking the people of the Chatzah. He has to either join in the Shittuf Mavoyis or do Bitul Rishus. But if he could use it, if he's able to carry in it, then not. Tosfos says the other way around. If it's Hukaf Ledira, if it was to begin with enclosed for the purpose of serving as living space, then in effect, it's just an extension of his house. So then you don't say he has a separate entrance, no more than you would say, for example, if a person has a window from one room to another of his house, you're not going to say that prevents, he's not going to ask around the people of the Mavri. Okay, in Shulchan Aruch it brings both opinions, Rashi's and Tosfos. The Beis Yosef says the first one is the primary one, and the Alter Rebbe in fact only brings that opinion of Rashi. He said the Mashmos of Rambam is also according to that. So therefore the key difference would be if it's bigger than Beis Sasayim and it's not Hukaf Ledira, then you have a problem. But if it was up to Beis Sasayim, or if it was more than Beis Sasayim and Hukaf Ledira, then you're fine. Then he's not assuring the other people of the Mavri by the fact that he didn't join in their Eruv Chatzeh, in their Shittuf Mavayis. The fact that he doesn't use the Karpif, so that's the question. Is it that he's using it, or is it that he could use it? Again, you have the Prisha before we were saying, says that even if he doesn't actually use it, just the fact that he could is good enough. Then we had the Mama Mordechai says that maybe not, maybe he actually has to use it. That's Tosfos. According to Tosfos, yeah. If he doesn't ever use the entrance to the Mavri, then of course he's not answering them. If he's not going to use this door to the Mavri, then he might as well be Mavata Roshos anyway. Then we don't have a problem, right? Okay. Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Speaking of Kaupif, let's talk about another din relating to that. Kaupif Yosim Beis Sasayim Shalei Hukaf Ledira, if you have a Kaupif more than Beis Sasayim, more than 5,000 square amas, and it wasn't enclosed to use as living space, it was enclosed for storing wood or whatever, and it doesn't have a door open from the house, so they're not going in and out of it regularly with the various definitions of Hukaf Ledira that we learned about before. Afilu Kurva Afilu Kurayim, even if it is a kur in size, which is far larger than Beis Sasayim, because a kur is 30 sa, v'afilu kurayim, even if it's 2 kur in size, so 30 times as much as Beis Sasayim, hazorik l'seichai chayev, nevertheless, if a person throws something or carries something from Rosh Hashanah into it, he's going to be chayev chatas. my timer. Now, why is that? We said you're not allowed to carry in it, but that's only midrabbanon. We consider it a kaimelis. Midaraisa, since it has walls. Mechitzehi, the fact is it has walls. Elishim choseras diurin, but it's lacking people living in it. So therefore, so on a daraisa level, it is a rishus yachid, and therefore transferring things between rishus rabim in it is going to be chayev. Now, how large are we talking about? There you have a machlokus between Tosfos and the Ritva. Tosfos learns earlier in the Masechta, we had a thing over there involving an area surrounded by rivers or whatever. When do we say also Rabim or Vatla Mechitzasa, that the fact that Rabim are constantly going in and out takes away the effect of the Mechitzas. Tosfos had learned over there that as long as you have man-made Mechitzas around an area, it doesn't matter how large it is. It could be even the size of an entire continent, and on Daraisa level, it would still be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Whereas the Ritva holds that no, even if it's man-made mechitzas, if the area is large enough that if you stand in the middle of it, you can't see the mechitzas on all sides of you, then it's not considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid Daraisa anymore. Which we talked about over there, is Negea to the question of, for example, let's say making an Eruv in Manhattan. This comes up in connection with that. Or would you be able to? According to Tosfos, maybe. So there's no place in Manhattan where you could stand and see both sides of it, but it wouldn't matter. The fact is, if you were to put man-made walls around it, then that would be valid, and it would be considered. Well, the water is not, Tosfos would agree that the water is not necessarily there. You would say also rabim or mavatli mechitzasa, because the fact is you have people always coming in over the bridges and all into the city and crossing over the water. So the question would be, if you had man-made walls around, or let's say Tzuras HaPesach or whatever, around Manhattan, would that work? Whereas according to the Ritva, it wouldn't work, because no matter where, even if you, I think we mentioned then something that Rebbe wrote to somebody who wrote a whole sefer on this topic of Hilchos Eruvin, that look, I mean, even you're not going to say that just because you may have a skyscraper in the middle of Manhattan where you can stand on the top of that, you can stand maybe, let's say, on the top of the Empire State Building and see all the different edges of Manhattan, not necessarily is that still going to make, according to the Ritva, that would be considered an area that hypothetically could be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay, anyway, so returning to here, so the same thing. When we say afilu kurva, afilu kurayim, according to Tosfos, it means even far larger than that, as long as it's mechitz, as long as it's man-made mechitzis, and according to the Ritva, it would be that no, only if it's still small enough that you can see the mechitzis on all sides of you. So there would be an upper limit, according to him. Okay. Masiv Rav Huna Bar Chinina. So Rav Huna Bar Chinina says, I have a contradiction to this. So you're telling me then, in other words, that an area bigger than Beis Sasayim, where Midrabanan you're not allowed to carry, Midrabanan it's considered a kaimelis, but you're saying on a daraisa level it's considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But we learn a braisa like this. If there's a rock in the middle of the sea or in the middle of a lake or whatever, which is at least 10 tfachim tall and at least 4 by 4 tfachim, so it's big enough to be a reshus of its own, you're not allowed to transfer anything between on Shabbos between it and the sea or vice versa, because it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid and the sea is Karmelis. And Midrabanan, you're not allowed to carry between Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Karmelis. But if it's less than 10 tefachim tall, then it's also a kaimelis. So therefore, you're allowed to move. So you're not allowed to move things more than 4 amos in kaimelis, but you're allowed to move it up to 4 amos. So if you have something on the edge of the rock, you can put it into the sea within four amos of that, or vice versa. Ad kama ad beis, and the braisa continues. Ad kama ad beis sasayim. Up to how large can this rock be? And you have this din up to beis sasayim. Now the question is, aheya, which part of the braisa is this restriction ad beis sasayim referring to? So again, we have two scenarios in the braisa: one where the rock is Rosh Hashanah Yachid because it's 10 tefachim tall, and one where it's kaimelis. So when we say up to Beis Sasayim, what are we talking about? Ilema Asefa, are you going to say it's talking about the Sefa, saying that when it's not 10 tefachim above the surface of the water, and therefore it's considered a kaimelis, that you can only carry in it less than 4 amos between it and the sea, only if the rock itself is up to Beis Sasayim, What do you mean? What do you mean? So if the rock is bigger than base sasayim, you wouldn't be able to move something from the edge of the rock into the sea, or vice versa. What's the difference? Well, I'm a camelus, the camelus kamataltal. Doesn't matter whether it's base sasayim or not. Either way, it's a camelus. And we know that within camelus, even within Rishas Rabim, you're allowed to move something less than 4 amas. Certainly from camelus, certainly within a camelus, you'd be allowed to. So Rav Huna Bar Chinina says, evidently that part of the Braisa that makes a distinction between base sasayim and less must be referring to the Resha. Bahokama, so the Braisa therefore would be saying like this: Sela Shabayam Gavoya sort of a reich of Dalid, if the rock is 10 tfachim tall and 4x4 wide, in Metaplan Lomatechala Yambalim and a Yam Lasekh. So you're not allowed to move anything between it and the sea, or from it to the sea, or from the sea to it, because then you're moving something from a Shasiyachat to Kamalas or vice versa. The ad kama, but when would that apply? Only ad base sasayim, only if the rock is less than base sasayim. Implying that if it's more than base sasayim, you would be allowed to. So we see that it's considered fully a camelus, meaning not just on a drabanan level, but even, in other words, for purposes of dinim da'araisa, we would consider this rock 100% camelus, and therefore we'd be saying that then the restriction of moving something between it and the sea doesn't apply anymore, because now it's a camelus, exactly. So wouldn't that be a contradiction on Rabbi Yechanan, who's saying that the place is still considered a Rishas Yachid for some purposes, namely as far as the dinim of moving something between Rishas Rabim and it? So why would there be the difference? Omar Rava. So Rava says, I don't even like the question. Mandalo Yoda Tarutzi Masnaisa. Somebody like Rav Huna Bar Chinina, who doesn't even know how to explain a Braisa, is he going to be asking a question on Rabbi Yechanan that Rabbi Yechanan is contradicted by the Braisa? You're not understanding the Braisa correctly. He's saying, La'olam Aresha, fine, of course, yes, you're talking about that, the part about base sasayim and less is referring to the Resha, you're right, when the rock is big enough to be a Rishas Yachid on its own. But Hachikamar, the point that Rav Huna Bar Chinina is trying to infer from the Braisa is that in that case, if it's less than base sasayim, you're going to be able to transfer something between it and the sea. Rava says that's not what the Braisa means. You're still going to be also to, like Rabbi Yechanan is saying, what is the Braisa implying? The Braisa is implying like this. The Braisa had mentioned that when the rock is 10 and 4x4, then you can't transfer something between it and the sea. The implication of the Braisa is that you are allowed to move things on the rock itself from one place to another, more than 4 amas. So va'ad kama. So now on that part, which is unstated in the Braisa, we're saying up until what size can the rock be, and you're still allowed to do that at base sasayim, because beyond base sasayim it's considered like a kaipif, and it's also midrabanan, it's considered a kaimelis. Obviously the rock is not hukaf ladira. But not to say that there would be a difference as far as transferring something between it and the sea, whether it's more or less than base sasayim, like Rav Huna Bar Chinina thought. No, there's no difference. Either way, it's going to be osur, because in the one case, you're doing from Rishas Yachid to Karmelis, and in the other, you're still doing from Rishas Yachid to Karmelis, because even though it's considered Karmelis for the purposes of carrying on the rock itself, it's still considered Rishas Yachid, because on a Daraisa level it is. So no contradiction to Rav Yechanan. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Never mind that. We could even be saying that the Braisa is not that we don't have to infer something from the Braisa that it didn't say. The Braisa didn't explicitly talk about the dinim of whether you're allowed to carry things around on the rock itself. Rava is saying the Braisa is implying that you're allowed to if it's up to base sasayim, and therefore saying it's also if it's more than that. So Rav Ashi gives a different answer. We don't need that. La'olam Aresha, yes, the part about base sasayim and less is talking about the Resha, is talking about where the rock is, or Shusayach, with 10 tfachim and at least 4x4. And we're going to say that the part about base sasayim and less is still talking about the dinim of whether you're allowed to move something between the rock and the sea or vice versa. But hein omru vehein omru. We're going to say it's not a problem on Rabbi Yochanan because the same chachamim said, and the same chachamim said two different dinim. Hein omru karpif yosim beis sasayim shlei hukaf ladira ein metaltlin by elabadalamas. The chachamim said that if the area is more than beis sasayim and it's not hukaf ladira, you're only allowed to move something in up to four amas. Vehein omru, the chachamim also said another din, ein metaltlin mer shasi yachad lekaimelis. You're not allowed to move anything between your shasi yachad and kaimelis because, so there's two different dinim. In other words, on the one hand, we're saying that we consider this area to be like a rishus harabim in a sense, and therefore that we can only move things in it up to four amas because it's very easily confused, because it's so large, it's very easily confused with a rishus harabim. But the same Chachamim also said, we also are not allowed to move something from Rosh Hashanah Yochid into Kamelis because we don't want people to think that you can carry from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So Beis Sasayim, so when it's up to Beis Sasayim, Deshari V'Taltuli B'Kulei, where you're able to anyway carry within the whole thing, the Chachamim did not give it the dinim of a Kamelis, then the Chachamim are going to say, well, this is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and the sea is a Karmelis. So then the second din goes into effect, that you can't carry something between Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Karmelis. My time, Rosh Hashanah Yochid Gmurahi, because then it's a full-fledged Rosh Hashanah Yochid on both a Daraisa and a Dirabonon level, because even Dirabonon you were able to carry on it. But when it's more than Beis Sasayim, to also the Taltuli Bekulei, we're there. You're taka not allowed to carry anywhere on the rock more than four amas, because it's karpif, you can't carry in it more than four amas. It does have to that extent the dinim of Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and you can't carry in it more than four amas. In that case, we're going to make an exception. Then the Chachamim Davka are going to be allowing you to carry things between the from the rock into the sea and vice versa. My timer, because other why not? Why should they do that? Because otherwise, Dilma Amir Shasarab Mishasayachid Gmurahi. Because if you don't allow that, people are going to mistakenly think that the rock is considered a full Rishasayachid, but also the Tatula Bekole, and then they're going to come carry on the whole thing. In other words, Rav Ashi is saying, in this particular case, the two takonis of the Chachamim are going to end up working at cross purposes, kind of. You're going to have, if you don't allow him to carry from the rock to the sea, which is the second thing, you're going to say it's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Kamelis, then people are going to say, hey, it's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, I can carry on the whole rock. And that would contradict the first one that we said we want something more than Beis Sasayim to be treated like a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Therefore, in other words, Rashi says, if you have, when the thing is less than Beis Sasayim, if you tell him don't carry from it to Kamelis, there's not going to be any problem that can result from that. Because it's less than Beis Sasayim, it is fully a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Good, people are going to know you can't carry from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Kamelis. But we don't want people to mistakenly think that it really still is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid when the Rabbanon it's not supposed to be because it's more than Beis Sasayim. So therefore, we set aside one takana in order to preserve the other one. Ah, so that's the Gemara asks. So, Maishna. So then what's the
question?
Yeah, go ahead. What's the question?
Why did the Chachamim give a measurement of Beis Sasayim for Rishus and it's much larger than a tchum of a city, 2,000 amos? And you can't carry...
No, so let me repeat your question for Ellie's benefit. The question is, why over here are we saying we're talking much larger than the tchum is 2,000 amas, and here we're talking 5,000. But remember, here we're talking about square amas. A tchum is 2,000 linear amas. Here we're talking about 5,000 square amas. In terms of a square, it's only 70 and two-thirds by 70 and two-thirds, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. The reason why, what we said is like this. As far as we learned earlier in the Masechta, what the Chachamim did is they took the chotzer of the Mishkan, which was 50 by 100 amas, 5,000 square amas, and they use that as the standard to determine is something considered a chatzer or something other than a chatzer. So if it's up to 50 by 100, if it's up to 5,000, and we learned also in the second parak, it also can't be too narrow and long, whatever, it has to have certain proportions there or whatever, then we can still consider it a chatzer, and we can consider it a rishasi yachid for purposes of carrying around in it. But when it's more than 5,000 square amas, when it's more than 70 by 70, then we consider that it's larger than the chatzar or the mishkan. So then the chachamim give it different rules. But you're confusing linear amas in connection with the tchum with square amas, which is what we're dealing here with the kaiprif. Okay. So the Gemara asks a Mishnah. So what's the difference? Why should one takana be stronger than the other? The answer is toichei shchiyah. It's much more common to carry things around on the rock itself. So if people see you carrying on the rock and it's more than beis sasayim, people are going to mistakenly think that in general you're allowed to carry on a karpif, and they're going to forget the whole takana of 5,000 square amas versus more than that. As opposed to carrying things between the rock and the sea, or vice versa, is much less common. On Shabbos, what would you have a need to put things into the sea or pick things up off the sea? To get water the sea, maybe if there's a freshwater lake, maybe, I don't know. But it's less common. And therefore, the Chachamim are not going to make a gzera on something which is less common. So Rashi explains, okay, it's one thing, in other words, so Rashi mentions, it's one thing in general when you're talking about carrying between a Shasa Yachid and Kamalas, that is a much more common thing to do. But here, specifically, this case over here, where you have, where it's a rock in the middle of the sea, or in the middle of the ocean, or whatever, and it's more than that you have the rock is more than Beis Sasayim, and that you should be carrying back and forth between it and the Kamalas, is a much less common scenario, and therefore the Chachamim can set aside their Gzeira in that case. There is a bit of a question that the Achronim discuss, what Rashi means with that last point. Why does Rashi need to mention that point? Rashi just said before that the difference is whether people are likely to misunderstand the situation. So why does Rashi now need to mention about the loy shchiach versus not? So in the back of the Gemara, you have notes from Reb Nechemia Dubrovner. He was a Lubavitcher Chassid in the times of the Tzemach Tzedek, a big goyin in the times of the Tzemach Tzedek. He married the Alter Rebbe's granddaughter. He was for a while a chavrusa and a business partner with the Tzemach Tzedek, and then later on he was a Chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. He was a big goyin in those times. Anyway, he wrote notes, among other things, he wrote notes on the Gemara that are printed in the back. So he says, maybe Rashi is saying that the Gemara is now giving a different answer. When the Gemara says over here, Toichei Shchiach, the Gemara is giving a different answer than before. Before we were saying the difference is that we have two gzeiros that the effect of them is going to counteract each other, and therefore we have to pick one over the other. And then the Gemara says, yeah, but why are you prioritizing one over the other? So the Gemara is now changing its mind and saying, you're right, it's not a matter of two gzeiros, one against the other. It's a matter of that this kind of case is not shchiach in the first place, and the Chachamim don't find the need to make gzeiros on things that are not shchiach, that are not so common. Okay. So the bottom line is, anyway, we brought this in the first place because Rav Huna Bar Chinina had thought that there's a contradiction from it to Rabbi Yechanan. So we're saying there's no contradiction. The Braisa is making a distinction between more than Beis Sasayim or less, but it's not. But it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yechanan either, because, like Rava said, the Braisa is implying that if it's more than Beis Sasayim, you can't carry on it, but the Chachamim are going to allow you to carry between it and the sea because it's all Kamalas to Kamalas. Or according to Rav Ashi, that was saying, since we have two Takonas de Rabbanon, where the effect of them might counteract each other, then the Chachamim pick one over the other. So we're talking about if the rock is more than Beis Sasayim. So we're saying you can't carry, normally we would say you can't carry on the rock itself, and you can't carry between it and the sea. But Rav Ashi is explaining it that in this scenario, we will allow you to carry between it and the sea because we don't want people to mistakenly think that the rock is real Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And that's why we can't carry between it and the sea. And since it's much less common to have to do that anyway, then the Chachamim didn't find a need to be goyzer on that. Okay.
So you
So you're carrying from, so in other words, in this particular case, where the rock is more than base sasayim, Rav Ashi is saying, what you're doing is you're carrying from an area, you're carrying from Carmelis to Carmelis, but on the other hand, to a certain extent, this rock is considered a Rishas Yachid still. Like Rabbi Yochanan said, if you were to transfer something between a Rishas Rabim and it, you would be Chayiv. But in that case, the Chachamim are relaxing the usual rule that you can't carry from Rishas Yachid to Carmelis because we don't want people to mistakenly think that it is a complete Rishas Yachid and that you should be allowed to carry on the rock itself, which is a much more common thing to do. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We're going to have more cases. From which we're going to learn more dinim about bitul reshus and schiras reshus and eruvim that we haven't dealt with until now. Shukriya, everyone.